This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Adam Hochberg. Hillary Clinton will make history tonight when she becomes the first woman to formally accept the nomination as a major party's candidate for president. As part of the buildup for tonight's speech, the Democratic Party's other stars have taken the stage at their convention this week to make their case for Secretary Clinton. Last night, President Obama wrapped the promise of a Clinton candidacy in the same familiar theme that he himself campaigned on 8 years ago.
The audacity of hope. America, you've vindicated that hope these past 8 years. And now I'm ready to pass the baton and do my part as a private citizen. So this year, in this election, I'm asking you to join me to reject cynicism and reject fear and to summon what is best in us to elect Hillary Clinton as the next president of the United States.
President Obama last night at the Democratic National Convention. Senior Washington reporter Jeff Bennett of Time Warner Cable News is at the convention in Philadelphia and joins us now. Hi, Jeff. Welcome back to the State of Things.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
So Hillary Clinton has a pretty unique challenge tonight. She's running for president for the first time, but she's been one of the most prominent women in America for like 25 years now. She doesn't have to introduce herself to us tonight. We all know her. Some people would say we know her too well. What does she need to do?
Well, that's right. And the unintended consequence of President Obama's speech last night is that it sets the bar incredibly high for her. But to your question, she has to really reassure people who doubt her integrity, for one, and she has to shed light on what truly motivates her. So we'll see tonight how she draws a contrast between the kind of presidency that she would have and the one that Donald Trump promises to have. The other thing that's true is that swing voters tend to watch the acceptance speech during conventions and very little else. So she's going to have to speak to people who have not been watching the previous 3 days and are really tuning in for the end. So even though we've had really the dense concentration of marquee names, I mean, it was a cavalcade of progressive voices, especially last night, but even leading up to tonight. There is a case that some of the people that she needs to reach out to have not seen those speeches. So in a lot of ways, she'll be starting at square one.
Now, you've been at the Republican convention. You were with the Republicans last week in Cleveland, and now you're with the Democrats in Philadelphia this week. Let's do a little bit of compare and contrast. What's been the most striking difference to you between the two conventions so far?
Well, until last night, I would say that the biggest difference is that this convention sought to build up Hillary Clinton as opposed to tearing down Donald Trump, whereas on the Republican side, their convention was essentially all about tearing down Hillary Clinton. And there's this contrast between love on the Democratic side and this sense of I guess you could say dread. And part of that on the Republican side, and part of that is because Donald Trump's entire reason for being, in fact, his stated slogan of Make America Great Again, is that he's painting this picture of America in decline. And, of course, we heard last night President Obama's retort to all of that, that America is already great. I mean, he really, from the stage, extolled the virtues of the great American experiment and said that Donald Trump, even though he casts himself as the sole American savior, that is faulty logic. And that was one of the premises of his speech last night.
Let's listen to part of that speech. Here's President Obama last night comparing Donald Trump's rhetoric to that of a Republican hero.
Ronald Reagan called America a shining city on a hill. Donald Trump calls it a divided crime scene that only he can fix. It doesn't matter to him that illegal immigration and the crime rate are as low as they've been in decades, because he's not actually offering any real solutions to those issues. He's just offering slogans, and he's offering fear.
Now, Jeff, you spoke with one of President Obama's staffers last night about the speech. What can you tell us about that line and about the message that the president was trying to convey?
It was that line about invoking Ronald Reagan was remarkable, because here you have Democrats adopting the theme of patriotism that Republicans typically own. And I understand President Obama and his speechwriters started working on that speech about a month ago, and it was more or less a mind meld. And part of that speech, it was an oratorical embrace of Hillary Clinton. Of course, there was a little literal embrace when she came out on stage at the end. But it had two goals. Part of it was a payback for Clinton's loyal service as Secretary of State in the early years of the Obama administration. But President Obama also knows that he has to secure his own agenda, which is really heavily dependent on keeping a Democrat in the White House. Now, why is that? Because in recent years, he's filed so many of these executive actions on things like, you know, climate change, guns, immigration, part of the Iran nuclear deal. And all of those things could be undone if Donald Trump wins the White House. And so, of course, Hillary Clinton and President Obama do have some differences. She takes a far more hawkish stance in foreign policy. She was for TPP, the trade deal, before she was against it. President Obama still supports it. But again, he obviously understands that it was important for him to do that sort of metaphorical passing of the baton, which he did very well last night.
Let's listen to a few of the other speakers from last night. Several of them, as you mentioned, Jeff, launched really pointed attacks on Donald Trump's background and his qualifications and his integrity. Here are clips of a few of them. We'll start with former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, and then we'll hear Vice President Biden, and finally Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Kaine.
Trump says he wants to run the nation like he's running his business? God help us.
He's trying to tell us he cares about the middle class. Give me a break. That's a bunch of malarkey.
He's got a way of saying the same two words every time he makes his biggest, hugest promises.
Believe me, it's going to be great. Believe me. We're going to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it. Believe me. We're going to destroy ISIS so fast. Believe me. There's nothing suspicious in my tax returns. Believe me.
Those are clips from three of the speeches last night at the Democratic National Convention. First, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, then Vice President Joe Biden, and finally, Vice Presidential candidate Tim Kaine. I'm talking with Time Warner Cable News senior Washington reporter Jeff Bennett. Jeff, all this pointed Trump talk last night, do the Democrats think they can drive up Donald Trump's unfavorable ratings any higher than they already are?
They're certainly trying because, as you know, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have historically the two highest unfavorable ratings on both sides in modern history. And you heard Tim Kaine there with his impersonation of Donald Trump, which he admitted this morning. He said it was pretty horrible. And some people thought that his speech was a little off-brand because Kaine is known for being... I mean, Republicans and Democrats both say that he's a decent, earnest man. And you heard there last night, he was, even though he was trying to be cutting, he was still came across as relatively nice and earnest, even when he was trying to be mean. But the sort of narrative theme between among all of those speeches started really with what Mayor Bloomberg said, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg said, that he said, you know, I'm from New York and I know a con when I see one. And all of this, all of those speeches really sought to unearth Donald Trump as a fraud. Bloomberg even said that he was supporting Hillary Clinton because she is sane and competent. And of course, the supposition there is that Donald Trump is somehow less sane or even insane, which is really remarkable considering that Bloomberg was a Democrat, then a Republican, and now an independent, who also for a while thought about floating a third-party run, but when it became clear that Hillary Clinton would become the nominee, the Democratic Party's nominee, he thought about doing it, having other plans.
Let me jump ahead to what Donald Trump was doing yesterday while the Democrats were in Philadelphia. He held a news conference and grabbed some attention with his statements about Russia. Let's take a quick listen to Donald Trump yesterday.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press.
That's Donald Trump yesterday. Now, this morning he went on Fox News and said he was just being sarcastic about that. But a lot of people, Republicans and Democrats, were left almost speechless by what seemed to be an invitation for a hostile foreign government to commit cybercrimes in the U.S. Jeff, I can probably guess how that played in Philadelphia.
Well, and that's right. And even reporters in the room yesterday said that there was nothing sarcastic about the way he said it. He also, yesterday, there was a gaffe where he referred to Senator Kaine as being the former former governor of New Jersey, which was also incorrect. But you know what's interesting is that Donald Trump is set to receive intelligence briefings relatively soon, as is Hillary Clinton. And so we have the Senate Democratic leader, Harry Reid, suggesting that the intelligence community should just give Donald Trump fake information because he says he's a dangerous man. The Clinton campaign chairman, John Podesta, says that the national security community should get some sort of agreement from Donald Trump's campaign that he will not leak the info. And the Clinton campaign is also encouraging reporters to take what Donald Trump said fairly seriously and not let him off the hook with this sort of, as they say in Washington parlance, walking it back, trying to take back what he said and saying, oh, it was just a big joke, I was just being sarcastic, and you all should have known I was speaking in sarcastic tone.
Jeff Bennett is the senior Washington reporter for Time Warner Cable News. He's joining us from the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate you coming in.
Sure thing.
You can find out more about Jeff's reporting from Philadelphia at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, Frank Stacio talks about the state of science fiction and how digital media is fueling the genre's growth. Please stay with us. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.